Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
And your forecast for Bloomington, 77 downtown, feels like 77. Humidity is less than 50%. That's excitable. We'll stay warm and might even heat up as the afternoon goes on a bit. The rain that was in the forecast, just a 15% chance the rest of the afternoon. Stays nice tomorrow as well. 81 and 59. 59 is the overnight low tonight. Updated forecast. Live radar, WGCLradio.com. 325 at WGCL. My calendar's blank. Well, there's nothing to put up there. So I'm not sure what Tuesday it is.
June 23rd.
Well, I got that, but I'm not sure which Tuesday of the month it is.
Fourth.
But when I see you in a tie, right. There must be an MCCSE school board meeting tonight.
There is.
And if there is, let's welcome in the superintendent of public instruction for the MCCSE. It's our great friend, Dr. Judy DeMuth. Dr. DeMuth, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. We are great.
Thank you for making time to join us as always as summertime rolls on. What was that great movie about surfing, The Endless Summer, where they just chased the... It seems like summer has been going on since about March here, but the temperature's a little bit nicer, and we're moving along. Here in the month of June, Keith, we've got a busy night tonight.
Well, and Judy, you just finished a meeting with the reopening committee, so how that
breaking
work?
News. I like that.
I did, you know, and we've had a lot of people giving us input as we've tried to put together our path to reentry and recovery, and we've actually had four major committees, a group of principals, a group of teachers, a group of staff members, and we just finished with our broad-based community group, which had about 40 participants on it. They've met seven times. They've been divided into work groups. They had a lot of work ahead of them. We put together some guiding principles in terms of what they were to do, and they were to develop a robust and flexible reentry plan that allowed us to reopen schools under a variety of possible conditions and scenarios. They gave us information on how to keep students and staff safe, how to prepare for sudden and or continuous closures, and how to create an equitable learning environment for all. So using those principles then, they were actually divided into work groups where they studied the situations more in depth and then gave reports from each of the committees that we then used to funnel all the information through. And then the last 7 days, we've been writing extensively our plan. So today, that broad-based group, along with our principal group, heard the plan, and we worked through it very meticulously so that they knew exactly what we were doing. But long story short, what you see in our plan is a real concerted effort for cleanliness, almost sterilization, to be honest with you, in terms of our facilities and all the kinds of things that kids need and use, really an effort to make sure they're not, you know, we work all the time with little ones to share, right? My grandkids were always saying, that's great sharing, that's great sharing. Well, unfortunately, right now we're not going to be able to share. You know, we've got to make sure that kids have their own supplies, and we're working on that diligently. We're going to be asking that families, before the child leaves home and our staff members, they'll be actually self-screening. So we're giving them information about that. We're asking them to wash their hands extensively before they come to school. When they come to school, we'll be social distancing, and we're encouraging folks to walk or bike their students to school, bring their students by car to school, carpool with other families. We're asking them that they have face coverings on when they come into the buildings. If they're using buses, that is an area that we will not be able to socially distance appropriately. The state has given us some guidance on that and flexibility, because as you may or may not know, in Indiana, our transportation fund is capped. We cannot just go out and raise more money for transportation or get more money from the state, but rather we have a certain amount of money for the school year, and so we have to live within our means, so to speak. But students will be wearing face coverings along with our drivers and monitors. And the face covering, you know, that's probably in every committee meeting and every meeting I've had in the last 3 months seems to be the elephant in the room. You know, what are we going to do? We did refer to them as masks before. Now the CDC has changed to face coverings. And we've really kicked that all over in every meeting I've been in. And what it really came down to is that we have to protect our children, our most vulnerable children, our most vulnerable staff members. And whatever it takes, that's what has to be done. So we are going to be asking people to wear face coverings, except when the teacher is in a situation with the students where they feel that they're appropriately socially distanced. And when we have school in person, we're going to try to make sure that kids are properly socially distanced. So when that teacher feels comfortable, then obviously students can take their masks off. But we're really going to have three different phases, and that is the instruction will be either be, and we're going to be sending out a survey soon. Parents can decide if they're going to send their children back to the brick-and-mortar schools, our buildings. The second phase would be an online experience where if the parent decides it's too early, they don't want to send their child back just yet, they can choose online for a semester, and that will be a very dedicated program, all online. It'll still be 5 hours at the elementary and 6 hours at the secondary. And then we're looking to make sure that we're ready to have what's called a hybrid situation, where if a student is ill and has to leave the classroom, we can continue on the instruction by that classroom teacher for that child, even if they're at home. Because we know that some of our children will be ill. We know that some of them will have to stay home because possibly a parent is going through COVID, and there are certain days that they have to be quarantined, if you will. So we've tried to prepare for each of those scenarios and then make sure that we're very diligent about spelling those out and what's required in each of those environments.
We're speaking to the superintendent of the MCCSC, Dr. Judy DeMuth. And Dr. DeMuth, prior to COVID-19, there was a term used around education in the state of Indiana called unfunded mandates. Now COVID-19 and all of these things you just described you have to do, how much of that is going to be unfunded mandates?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because, as you can well imagine, there, you know, politically, there are a lot of things happening. And so what we have is, first of all, FEMA, which is the entity that, you know, if you have a natural disaster, people apply to FEMA to be reimbursed all the bills that they have, if you will. So we are working with FEMA, and we're not sure exactly what they'll cover just yet. Then we have what's called the Federal CARES Grant, and so we've made application through the CARES Grant. And then if you may have noticed just recently, Governor Holcomb released that there's going to be, for the lack of a better term, a technology grant. So what we've done with FEMA is we've tried to load all of the expenses that we've had into that FEMA grant, wait until we see what is kicked out of FEMA. In other words, they won't pay for. We've gone ahead then and written our CARES grant and put the same kinds of things in there, the things that we know that may not get covered in from FEMA, into CARES. And so if it's covered by FEMA, we pull it out of CARES. If it's not covered by FEMA, it'll be covered by CARES. And then we have a lot of technology, as you can well imagine, built into the CARES grant. So now we're going to apply for the technology grant and ask for those same things. If it's funded by technology, we come back into our CARES grant, and then there's a whole host of things that we still need to purchase. But we're hoping that we'll have some flexibility because other grants will cover things that we already have built into the CARES grant. So we're jiggling and joggling and all those things, three grants, to make sure that we're covering all the expenditures we've made And quite frankly, when all of this hit, you wouldn't believe all the people that contacted us to donate to them. You know, do you have masks? Do you have N95 masks? Do you have gloves? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have goggles? And so we're trying to recruit money through FEMA and all of those things, in addition to all of our cleaning supplies, all of our masks, all of our shields, all of our gloves, all of our gowns, because as you know, we have an early childhood center. We've got little ones, and so when we're taking care of those, our personnel will have gowns on to protect themselves. So we're going to try to get all that from FEMA, and then, like I said, use that CARES grant to jiggle in and out the things that aren't covered by FEMA, aren't covered by technology, and then we'll continue on with the CARES grant. So a lot of flexibility, probably a lot of addendums and changes, but hopefully we'll get things covered. There will be expenses that are not covered because there's only so much money that we'll get through FEMA. There's only so much money we'll get through CARES, and there's almost so much money we'll get through the technology grant. But we have to have those things to make sure that we are really trying to close the gaps with our children, trying to make sure all those families that don't have connectivity, because that's a big one for us. We know that when we surveyed, we had about 365 families that did not have connectivity. So we've taken that responsibility on ourselves. We're putting buses out there in certain neighborhoods that have Wi-Fi capability. We're putting Wi-Fi outside most of our buildings so you can actually drive through in the parking lot and gain access. We have what's called MiFis or hotspots that go to certain families. And then we know we've got everybody covered except for a few families that are kind of like toward Heltonville and a few families that are on the Nashville line, where if Mr. Pritchett were sitting here saying, I can't get them connectivity because there are absolutely no towers. So those families we're going to have to handle differently. But we've got to make sure they have whatever they need to make sure we can make up the gaps that we know kids probably have as a result of us having to close before spring break.
Dr. Judy DeMuth is our guest this afternoon. The MCCSC superintendent checks in before the school board meeting tonight. And to think you were going to retire.
Yes. My husband reminded me that this was going to be my last board meeting.
No, not at all. The final draft that will never be final because, as you mentioned, addendums will be added to this once the once it gets implemented moving forward. This will be online where everybody can see it, correct? This will be posted at the website. Right. So just maybe not tomorrow or this very second, but once everything gets put together, it will be. I notice you've changed from masks to face coverings. There will be guidance in there, obviously, of what constitutes a mask or a face covering. True, I would think, or does everybody, anything goes. As long as you just keep it covered, that'd be great.
And you know what, quite frankly, that's what the CDC is pretty much saying, that you can have a piece of cloth or material and as long as it covers your nose and it covers your mouth, then that's a appropriate face covering. And so we are following their guidance, and we are going to allow families, if they want their children to have a certain face covering, to use those. But as you can well imagine, we have a lot of masks that we're ready to have our students wear if, in fact, they don't have that. And a little bit about the plan. So tonight our board will hear the plan. It is a draft. Once we go through it, they're welcome to change it. We'll put it on our website. And so as we've told every group we've worked with, there may be a gap. Let us know if we've not address something. If you can see a problem, let us know. We'll work with that for this next week. And then Tuesday the 30th, we'll have a special meeting where we'll bring this back to the board for approval, recognizing that we may be changing it because of CDC guidelines or the health department or the state of Indiana. So it will be final on the 30th. So during this next week, anybody who has some input will be glad to hear it. We'll take it into consideration. And then the final plan, like I said, Tuesday the 30th, will be submitted to our Board of School Trustees for final approval. And then we're moving forward. We're moving forward as we speak in all kinds of things. I mean, things you can't even imagine. Transportation, food service. We've got to use the cafeteria for classes. We've got to space kids out. We're looking at plans from principals and working with them to make sure we can socially distance. All of those things have to be completed before our kids come back, on top of that, our early learning center will open up on July 7th. So we're in the heat of making sure that we're all ready to go for those babies. Again, we have babies 6 weeks through preschool, and so we'll be ready to accept those children July 7th.
Excellent job, as always, Dr. DeMuth, and the meeting tonight. What time are we getting started at the CoLab? Let's make sure we get that destination right. There'll be human beings attending this one. Weird.
There will be. There will be people Zooming, people Facebook Living, and then people that are really living in the board in the area of the CoLab. So that's 553 East Miller Drive, and that is the CoLab. It begins at 6 p.m., and we're welcome for people to attend in person. We do, if we get full, we'll have to have people do it Facebook Live, but they're we'd love to have them and see them.
Absolutely. The human interaction is part of what you all do, and we appreciate it. We're looking forward to seeing this draft put together and how we're going to move forward in this new time we live in. Thank you so much for your time today, Dr. DeMuth. Have a great meeting tonight, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Bye now.
Dr. Judy DeMuth from the MCCSC. She checks in with us every time, every Tuesday. There is a school board meeting on the cards, Keith. So
that's right.
Great to hear from her. And you guys will be busy tonight because that draft is going to be difficult. You talk about everybody going to get their 2 cents in and this and who's going to keep the mask on. They're perfect's out the window, folks. There are two things I've talked about here for the last 3 months that you have to accept. Perfect is gone.
Right.
Perfect games, perfect anything, perfect radio, perfect bubbles, perfect. It's not going to happen, and you have to be flexible. Those are the only two things right now that should be on your mind. And if you're worried about black or white, it's happening or not happening, that you can't do that.
Nope.
Because it will not. The virus does not work that way. It doesn't work that way. So let's be smart. Let's manage it the best we can. Let's be as preventative as we can. But here's what I can't hear. You go out to dinner, then you're yelling about people wearing masks in the classroom. Stop. You can't have it both ways. Can't do it. Cannot do it. I won't listen to it. Don't bother me with it. I'm not going to hear it. Network Indiana News and 10 Good Minutes with Jim Sims next.